All right. So I have stories to share and hoping this all makes sense to you guys as we jump into this second season in Advent. I was reading somewhere, and I don't remember where, but this thing stood out to me, and it said that true faith is found in the tension of the uncomfortable, right, and the comfortable. And so it's like the hope of what can be, you know, or the reality of what we know, and then this uncomfortable part of stretching to something we don't know. And that's where true faith actually lives. And it made me ponder this idea of faith. And we're in a season right now, an Advent. And this is like, I'm trying not to make this a heavy, but here's the thing, guys. I don't know how to be anything other than deep. I try to land on surface, and I just don't know how to do it, you know? So I'm going to be real. This is going to be deep. These are my raw, moments. 2 weeks ago, I stood up here and I shared how I needed an exchange, right? I said every morning, like before I get up here to speak, I get really anxious and I end up vomiting everywhere. And that it came down to Christine called me. I was just so discombobulated. And she led me through an exchange. You know, sometimes you just need a little help. What was the lie I was believing? The lie that I was actually believing went all the way back to grade one. Do you remember that? Remember me sharing that? In that memory that came forward, and this is where I got to start, because this is really what's unpacking with me, okay? As we lead into today's Advent of peace. The memory that came forward was in grade one, writing about my holidays, my experience, and writing in my journal, not having the words to articulate, writing very, 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 very good. And my teacher thought that was inappropriate and circled every very except for one. And then put, you know, with red marks, circled all my varies and gave me back with a failing grade on my journal. And it was in that memory that came forward that I needed to exchange the lie. What was the lie I was believing? The lie that I was actually believing was the fact that I was alone, right? And that I was inadequate. I would never have what I needed to articulate. Hence why every time I got to get up here, that anxiety would manifest, okay? And it was there that Jesus came into that memory and stood across from me. And he sat and he looked at my journal, which was facing me with all the red marks, and he emphatically went with a very strong finger, "This is very, 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 very good." And with every very, the circles disappeared. The red marks went off the page, and he looked with delight in his eyes at me, who did not have the language to articulate. And in that moment, I broke. And it shifted something. When I allowed the word of Jesus to come and transform my perception on that memory, and when I heard with my ears, saw with my eyes, and believed in my heart that he said what I had was good, I interpreted that he actually likes me, and I know that he does, but it went deeper still. And from that moment arrived last Sunday, where we threw a party in here. It was amazing. We had a lot of fun, didn't we? I didn't know what I was going to stand up and say. The word came to me very first thing in the morning, and it was out of Isaiah 40, and I'm going to read it to you. It's verses 1 and 2. This is what it says in my Bible. "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare has ended and that her iniquity has been removed and that she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Comfort, comfort. And it dawned on me when this scripture fell into my heart and mind that when Jesus came, he initiated an era of comfort, that the call is to come and that is in the hope, that there is hope to be comforted. Okay, so I stood up here. Guess what? I didn't vomit that day. Well, here we are coming into today. I haven't vomited. And so here we are in the second Advent, which is peace. Now, I'm going to light these candles because we're doing things a little differently right now, just because I felt like we were supposed to, and I didn't really know how this was all going to unfold. But we talked about hope, Isaiah 40, comfort, comfort. Is anybody needing comfort? Because if you are, there is hope for you. And God's word is he's speaking kindly, not harshly to you. His invitation is to hear the kindness in his voice, the loving kindness, and out of that, encounter the love of God as he delights in you. And building upon that hope is this thing called peace. We know that the scripture tells us that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Peace does not come with, okay, everybody, listen here. That's not peace. I'm sorry for blowing out your ears online. I forgot you were there. I apologize, folks. Peace does not come with, you get what I'm saying? And the whole world is shaking and manifesting and beating their chest to be seen and to be known, and there is no peace in it. Alin reminded me that it is the lies that we believe that speak really loudly. And it is the truth that speaks very softly and kindly. And when Jesus was emphatically going very, 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 very good, that kindness invoked peace in my mind, in my emotions, in my heart, and in my being. I'm going to read to you out of Isaiah 26, starting in verse 3. Here we go. The steadfastness of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For in God the Lord, we have an everlasting rock. I'm going to read that again and slow it down. The steadfast mind. What does steadfast mean? Anybody know?
Determined or focused.
Staying on something. The steadfast, determined, focused mind, you will keep in perfect peace. When I focus my mind on the teacher and her perception of who I am or how I am, it sends my whole body out of whack. Okay? And as a result, my mind starts spinning. Anxiety ramps up. And I am now like not the best version of myself. Ever been there? But if I lock my eyes and my ears to the kindness of the Father, and I lock in to that he showed me of his delight, especially when he said good, it was and is a treasure to me that that holds my autonomic system, my mind, my emotions, my heart, my desires at what? Peace. And in that peace comes a rest that allows me to be. And where does it come down to? Peace is found in one place, and it comes through an act, and that act is trust. The steadfastness of mind, you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts you. He trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For in God the Lord, we have an everlasting rock. That is sure footing to stand on. I may not have had all of my words written out, articulated in a proper manner this morning, but I stand in sure footing that I know the direction of where I'm going to communicate and what I'm going to communicate. So let's move on from here. This is not new. Trust is what it comes down to. The only problem is our experience in life tells us that we can't trust. Trust is broken regularly. But God is not a man that he would lie. And what he says and he promises is he says prophetically, I'm the one who tells you the end from the beginning. Prophetically, I am for you and not against you. Prophetically, I came so that everyone, not just one people, but everyone could come in to my loving kindness. In Isaiah, there is a conversation that takes place between God the Father and God the Son. And you know what God the Father says? You are my beautiful servant. I'm paraphrasing. You're my beautiful servant. But here's the thing. It's not enough that you should come and restore Jacob to me. It's not enough because you're just so beautiful. It's better that you not only restore Jacob, but you restore the whole world. That is out of a heart that is so loving, so welcoming, so much bigger than we give him credit for, so much nicer than we can even understand. The ways of the kingdom are around us for all to see. They are in every single encounter you have with people. The possibility of belonging and maturing. There's grace here. God's heart is so much bigger than kinder than we realize. And he is not deaf to our cries and our frustrations. In Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24, going to verse 27, Jesus is speaking and he says this, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." We are houses. We are the house and presence of the living God. If you have given your life to Jesus, if you've surrendered and he is your Lord and Savior, then his spirit is deposited in you. That spirit is a promise, an inheritance, that you will indeed be with him in eternity. Okay? you are now pregnant with the presence of God. But not only is it a forthcoming thing, it is a now thing. Because he comes to bring you into belonging. He comes to reveal the Father's heart to you. He comes to equip you and train you and transform you so that you will stand firm in the love of God. So that when people encounter you, they encounter heaven. Heaven comes when they encounter you. Belonging happens, right? So when Jesus came as the Prince of Peace, what peace did he come to bring? We often look at this and we think world peace, right? Peace amongst the nations. Peace between siblings. What if he actually came to bring peace within you? What if his advent, his arrival, was actually to bring peace to your mind, to your emotions, to your desires, to your heart? Because in the garden, there was trust and there was peace until one day a question arose. Could God be trusted to provide? And was he truly who he said he was? Was he truly good? That question has shaken all of us for generations. I think that Jesus came to bring peace to our minds, that we would then become a people of peace, standing firm on a rock, assured of our belonging, assured of our believing, and assured in our becoming. And the completed picture is God's design. He is working in you to transform your heart, your mind, your spirit, your soul into the image of his Son. He is a good parent who watches over you, all of us, to transform us into the truth of who we are. That can only come when we let go of the lies we believe. And so today I stand and I point to a man. His name is Jesus. When you look at him, you see the Father. Everybody in the world who has told you that he's angry and mean and ready to write you a ticket is lying, because he gave his only Son so that you could be free from the torment in your mind, in the turmoil in your emotions, in the calming and cooling of your desires and shifting and transforming those desires, so that you can be the truth of who you are intended to be. When we encounter and we have eyes to hear, ears that hear, eyes that see, but it's a Habakkuk thing. And Habakkuk says, I'm going to look to listen. So eyes and ears are transformative, but they shape our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. So we need to be renewed and transformed in our mind, because our mind is powerful and it will therefore either agree with and exasperate emotional unrest, or it will calm it down. Now, you can try this on your own, but you're going to spend a lot of energy going around the mountain, because in your belief system, if you believe that God is not for you but against you, if you believe that he only chooses some and discards the rest, that gives you the ability to find yourself in the possibility of being on or off, discarded or accepted. Jesus is here to accept us all, for all who would choose him. And if we yield to his lordship and his words and his love we are transformed. So, I'm going to pray. Father God, Lord Jesus, and Holy Spirit, we welcome you into our awareness. We thank you for your heart, which is bigger than we realize for us. Somehow, Lord, I pray that that truth would drop in really, really deep into our belief system. But I pray for courage that we would step past our fears and the lies that we believe. But I also pray, Lord, for attentiveness, that as we go about our days, we would be intentionally attentive to the areas where we need to surrender to encounter your hope and peace in how we're thinking, feeling, believing, or functioning. Lord Jesus, you are so gracious and kind. We thank you that you are the perfect reflection of the Father and that you beckon us to come. Your mind was set on truth as to who he was. Your emotions were confident and stable within him. And therefore, your desires was everything the Father wanted you to do. And you stood firm to the very end. We thank you. We thank you for the promise that is in those words, Lord, and in your actions, that we too could have that kind of security and peace. As we continue to figure out who we are in you, help us to explore everything pertaining to a life of godliness already contained within us. In your presence, reveal to us the truth of what's on the Father's heart for us. And let that truth go so deep. We worship you, Lord. We magnify you. We glorify you. We thank you. We celebrate you. We treasure you. We wrap ourselves around you and hide ourselves within you as you come close and we take one step closer. Thank you that your arms are open wide. We pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said,
amen.